Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. While you're finding that, or they're finding that, or I know we're supposed to be in Galatians 4 because I started that 2 weeks ago. So we're going to be in Galatians 4 for a little bit, but we're going to sneak ahead to Galatians 5 for just a minute. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. I'm going to read that one more time, and then you can sit down. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You can be seated. I'm going to read to you Deuteronomy 30, 14 through 18. But the word is very nigh unto thee, even, or the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgment, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passeth over Jordan to possess it. How many people live where you want to live? Right now, how many people live where you want to live? Then why are you living there? If you didn't raise your hand, why are you living where you... What? Oh, sorry. Somebody pointed at their spouse. I'm not living there because I want to live there. I'm living there because they want to live there. Your environment matters. Where you live matters. The things around you matter. To prove that your environment matters, I looked up the cities that are the most healthiest cities in the United States. And the most healthiest cities in the United States are Arlington, Virginia, San Francisco, Seattle. And the reason they rank this, the reason they rank them the healthiest cities in the country, is they say because people that live there tend to exercise more, smoke less, have more access to parks and trails. Now, near the bottom of the list that I looked at was Brownsville, Texas, Huntington, West Virginia, Memphis, Tennessee, and Charleston, West Virginia. Your environment matters. Who you're around matters. The reason it is like that, they say, is because in those areas, not only is there access, but there's community camaraderie that pushes toward healthiness and fitness. So a lot of times we got to be careful who we're around because it affects us. Whether we realize that or not, it affects us. Can you say amen? He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. The stand fast there means place, to find a place and remain there. To stand fast. So you place yourself in an area. And when you place yourself in that area, he says, place yourself in liberty. Stand in liberty. Not only stand there, not only place yourself there, but remain there. To remain in liberty. Liberty, the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So if you're looking for liberty, you need to find it in the Spirit of God. So let me say it like this. Find a place in the Spirit. Stand fast in that place so that you can maintain your freedom. Because he that the Son has set free is free indeed. The issue is God has set us free. And we talked about this not long back, but we talked about grace. And we talked about when you preach about grace and you preach grace the way that people don't think you believe in holiness. But when you preach grace the way it should be preached, then people realize that the grace of God is the motivator. that the grace of God and the Spirit of God will get more than legalism will ever get. Can you say amen? So when we find a place in the Spirit, we have to stand fast, therefore, in that liberty. There is an implication here that if I have to stand fast and I have to place myself there and remain there, then there is something that is going to try to remove me from that place of liberty and put me back in bondage. We have an enemy. We understand that. We have our flesh. We have things that fight against us that war against the Spirit. The flesh and the Spirit will always war with one another. Let me repeat that. The flesh will always war against the Spirit, and the Spirit will always war against the flesh. There is a self-service mode that we have where we want to take care of ourselves, and that flesh will always war against Spirit. It's not always easy to be a servant. It's not always easy to love those that are unlovable. The reason it is that way is because of our flesh, not because of the Spirit. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we have a choice. Deuteronomy says that we have a choice. I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. So we have a choice, life and good or death and evil. And I want to insert this into your thinking today, that we just don't have this choice one time. We have this choice on a regular basis. You can choose life, you can choose good, or you can choose death, and you can choose evil. Can you say amen? In our life, the enemy comes in. He presents us with a temptation. And when that temptation comes, we have a choice. He's saying, make sure that you choose life, that you can live. You're not going to live in what the enemy has to offer you. The enemy we know comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Understanding that, and because we know that the enemy hates you, the reason that enemy hates you is because you were made in the image of God and we took his place as the worshipers in heaven. Can you say amen? I don't know if you know this or not, but there are so many angels crying, holy, holy, holy. But the moment that Paul and Silas called out from an inner prison, the earth began to quake, because God, over top of all the holies, after all the angels, he heard somebody, a willing vessel that wanted to worship, that had their mind made up. It didn't matter what their condition was. What mattered was whether their God was worthy or not. I'm getting there. You got a choice. You look nice tonight. Come here. You can be the good guy. I mean, you're here. I want you to watch this. Come over a little bit closer. Because sometimes the choice is not that far away. What happens is, he said, you can choose goodness, life, remain in liberty. You can place yourself there. Or you can place yourself, stay in liberty, don't be entangled in the yoke of bondage again, and death and evil. Now, the problem is, this is your choice. And I would love to make this choice for people. Amen. Come on, have you ever seen an altar call and you've seen somebody, they're just sitting there and they're fighting with it, and you wish you could just go grab them and make them go? But you don't get to make that choice. This is your choice. This is your choice. Now, if I put myself, my environment matters. What I place myself in matters. Now I'm going to preach on you. You ready? It's Wednesday. We're not nice on Wednesdays. Remember, we beat ourselves up so we'll be better Christians. You got to be careful, and you need to be jealous about what you allow in your environment. This is a place where all the world preaches tolerance. This is a place where you need to be intolerant. This is a place, because this is your space. It's where you place yourself. And when you place yourself in an environment, there are catalysts there that begin to pull on you and activate things in you. Can I get an amen? So what people do is very easy. It's like this. I go to church. Man, when I'm in church, I hear good preaching, especially here. I hear good singing, especially here. And you hear all this good stuff. And you feel the presence of God. And you see nice people. And you shake their hand. And everything's good. And you put yourself in that place. I'm telling you, it affects you. Amen. There are things in you that when you come to church, they get energized. There are things in you, the Bible says, to stir up the gift that is within you. You got the gift, but if you put yourself in the right spot, that gift will begin to energize and it will begin to be stirred up. Amen. Now, on the flip side, if you put yourself over here, and when you get around evil and when you get around death, there are things in you that will energize. You say, oh, no, not me. Oh, yes, you. Because there are things in our flesh that somehow and for some reason side with this side. I believe the reason that our flesh sides with death is because our flesh is dying. I believe the reason the spirit sides with life is because the spirit is everlasting. So the flesh goes to that thing that it is part of, and it's part of death. So be careful. You say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Your environment matters. It matters a huge deal. Because if I'm over here, and if I'm just around it, I don't know if you've ever been there, but man, you can come out of a great service and then you get to a place, and I remember this very vividly. I remember when I first got saved. When I first got saved, I went to church all the time. I mean all the time. We had to fill out a journal in my 12th grade year, and I went back through that journal, and it said, church Friday night, church Saturday night, church Sunday morning, church Sunday afternoon, went to Jolo. That was in my journal. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, church Sunday night, church and prayer meeting Tuesday night. And I was in that place. And man, when you're in that place, that spirit begins to energize something inside of you, and it does something to you. Can I get a witness? Now, I remember, Brother Eddie, I got a job at a place, and in that place, they played secular music. And that secular music bothered me. You know why it bothered me? Because I was energized in the spirit. And they played things that does, and it wasn't really, really that far out, but it was just a sound that I just didn't like it. And I could feel something on the inside. Can I get a witness? So then I got a job in construction. And when I got a job in construction, they played that music all the time. Let me tell you what happened. The more I was around that music, the less it bothered me. Everybody's like, it still don't bother me. There's something wrong. There is something wrong. When the music worships and serves the creature more than the creator, there's something wrong. Not with the music. That's what it's designed to do. The music is right. It's doing what it... The problem is not it. The problem is me. Am I preaching on you yet? Because sometimes we get over in this place, and if I hang around him long enough, before I know it, some other things get energized in me that should never be energized. Can you say amen? The enemy has a plan, but he told us, he said, don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. I want you to notice that there's no entanglement over here. He said, you got to stand fast over here. The entanglement is over here. I wish the entanglement was over here. Once, and I know they sung this song years ago. I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says you have to stand fast in the liberty, and you get entangled in this side. There is something about this world that if you're not careful, you get on that side and it begins to wrap you up, and it begins to energize things in you that God did not ordain you to have energized. Why is this important? It's extremely important. Because I'm not preaching to sinners tonight. I'm preaching to Christians. And preaching to Christians, we got to move up in our sanctification. Now, it's not my job to preach on your every sin. You know why? Because I don't know your every sin. It's not my job to make you feel really bad about your sin. That's the Spirit's job. Amen. Because I figured this out. I can preach till I'm blue in the face, and I can motivate you for a couple days. But it takes the Spirit of God to keep you disciplined. Say amen or oh me. If I'm preaching on you, go ahead and take your shoes off so I can get them good. I want to get them toes good. But preacher, there's really nothing wrong with this. That's the way the enemy presents everything. Years ago, Brother Eddie preached a message. The first thing the enemy did when they got Samson is they put his eyes out so he couldn't see. We live in a world, a religious world, where they don't see nothing wrong with anything. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with this. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see it. The problem is, when you're blind, you don't see. But you need the Spirit to open up your eyes to understand that those things are not expedient. God wants to take you someplace, and he wants you to stand in that liberty, and this is trying its best to pull you back because the enemy knows something. This is my intro. Y'all ready? This is so important because you got a choice. When Jason comes home and he's grouchy, you got a choice. Amen? You got a choice. You got a choice. And in that choice, something is hanging on our choices. You got a choice. You're sitting in a good spot, and I like preaching you anyway. Don't let this world lie to you and say, oh, man, you're young. Let's sow our wild oats. You know, boys will be boys. No, that's your choice. This world can tell you all that stuff, and you can look at them and say, no, I'm going to stand fast in the liberty because Christ made me free, and it's not about sowing anything. If I'm going to sow anything, I'm going to sow the gospel because I'm going to serve God from my youth, and that's my choice to stand fast in that liberty. You know what, Thomas, where's your girls? Hey, y'all got a choice. You got a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. What are we going to do with this choice? Why did God give us choice in the first place? David would have been a lot better if there was not a choice. I used to sell flooring, and people would come in and they'd say, I need a beige. I'd say, here's one. No, not that kind of beige. That's pinky beige. What about this one? No, that's kind of taupey beige. What about this one? No, that's a little creamy beige. I had tile in everywhere. And finally a guy said, could you just narrow it down to two and tell her it's all you got? Wouldn't it be nice if this is it. This is all you got. This is all you got. But there can't be love without choice. Let me say that again. There can't be love without choice. So when all these atheists say, why did God put man in a garden and put a tree in there knowing he was going to eat that? Why did he even give him that choice? Why would he even do that knowing he's going to do it and then he sends him to hell? Why would he do that? Because there can be no love without choice. Amen? Yeah. Tracy, do I make you love me? I don't make her. As a matter of fact, you can't make anybody love you. They can fake it. They can act like it, but you can't make it. It's got to be a choice. So when it comes to God, my choice is proof of my love. So how much do you love him? I'm going to tell you, a good indicator of how much you love God is where you place yourself. Good sermon, right? Everybody ready? Y'all ready to go home? I ain't letting you go yet. Because there's a reason the enemy wants to pull you over here. There's a reason. If you're on your way to heaven, can the devil do anything about it? The devil can't do anything. The devil can't stop you from going to heaven. So then why is he after you? Why is the devil after you if he can't stop you from getting to heaven? I'm going to tell you why. That's why I'm your preacher. Because the goal is not just to get to heaven. The goal is to accomplish something here on earth. When the enemy went into the garden, the walks in the garden were about relationship. They were about union. And because they were in union, Adam possessed something because he was in union with God. He possessed life, for one, because he said, the day you eat of the tree, the day you choose this side, you will surely die. He said, you're surely going to die. And I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation, but I'm going to tell you this. You're going to lose some things. There are some things in you that are going to die when you choose this side. When you walk with this side, there are some things in you that aren't going to progress the way God ordained them to progress. Amen. So he goes into the garden, and he's after something. He's after Adam. Sam, the reason he is after Adam is because Adam has authority, and he knows the way to get to that authority is to intercept his union. If he can get him entangled over here, let me tell you this, the authority that the church is designed to walk in isn't over here playing with this side. It's over here standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Amen. So we think that when we got life, hold it up real high, when we have life, we're happy we have life. I have life, I have life, I have life. It's not just for you to have life. It's for you to give life. It's for you to speak life. So let me tell you what happens. You make the wrong choice, just like Adam made the wrong choice. Adam made the wrong choice. And when Adam made the wrong choice, it brought shame into the garden. And when shame came in the garden, you know what Adam did when God came in the garden? He hid. How are you going to walk in authority when you're hiding? How are we going to walk in power when we're hiding? You made the wrong choice. Adam made the wrong choice. When he made the wrong choice, he got entangled. And when he got entangled, you can put it down, I know your arm's getting tired. He was designed to walk here, not here. He said, choose life that you may live. Joshua said it like this, and I love the way Joshua said it. He said, you can serve the gods over there on the mountains. You can do this. He said, but as for me and my house, he said, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what we need in this hour? We need more men like Joshua that'll stand up and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's a choice. So you make the choice, and you're... Bondage, death, evil, all of that stuff is present. You say, well, I don't really do anything evil. Do you gossip? A lot of people do. I was at the gas station the other day, and there's these two ladies, and I could tell. I said, are y'all gossiping? She says, as a matter of fact, we are. Figured, man, that's running somebody down, wearing them out. You know what you do when you do that? It's like murder. It's like murder. It's like murdering your brother. No, not really. It's not that. And y'all know what we do. You know what we do? We disguise it. And we say, I'm not supposed to say anything. But I really think that Sam needs prayer. Because let me tell you what he did. And we disguise it as a prayer request. And it's not a prayer request. We just want to tell somebody. Amen. You know what that does? That removes us out of our place of authority. Oh, the enemy's smooth. He makes it look. You ever had somebody come and say, I got juicy gossip? Anybody ever told you that? Come on, raise your hand if anybody's ever told you that. It's juicy. It's juicy. And you know what? I like juice. Juicy sounds good, don't it? So it makes it sound like it. And let me tell you what it really is. It's dripping with things that are going to kill and move you out of your place of liberty. Why is this important? Because if we're going to walk in authority, we got to walk in liberty. Liberty from what? Liberty from that. Now understand this, when Christ sets you free, he doesn't set you free to your own self. you come under another government, and that government is not the law, that government is not you, that government is the Spirit. He said, sons of God must be led by the Spirit of God. Those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. So there is another government that I am under. Let me tell you what's awesome. The Spirit not only draws you and compels you, the Spirit also empowers you. I'm going to sit down if you want to. You tired? You okay? Liberty is a choice. Bondage is a choice. The authority that we have designed to walk in is the result of our choice. So I hear this a lot, Doug. The church doesn't have the same power that it used to have. Anybody heard that? I've heard this. Preach grace, that greasy grace, and it gives people a license to sin. I didn't know people needed a license to sin. I thought they was doing pretty good unlicensed. Amen? So you make a choice. Now, here's what's awesome about God. When you make this and you get entangled over here, he will untangle you. He calls you. How many people have heard this? Tell me if I'm right. How many people have heard this? Come closer. You've heard the Spirit saying, come closer. Grow up. Get stronger. Get strong. Anybody heard that? Anybody heard the Spirit say that? Anybody felt in your spirit that you needed to get a little closer to where he is? Does anybody hear that call? Does anybody hear him saying, hey, he said, like a hen would gather her chicks as he's calling in the bride. Here's what's awesome about being the bride. Not only am I the bride, I'm the son. Amen. You know what's awesome about that? My relationship, walking in liberty, being the bride, produces the son. So what are you saying? I'm saying my relationship with God produces who I am. So where am I at in my liberty? I've got to get where he has called me to place myself in liberty. Well, preacher, I'm free. I'm free. Free from sin. Free from hell. Free from eternal torment. You're free from all of that. But what are you free to? What are you free to? You're free to walk in authority, to walk in power. I don't want to be another church that has okay sermons and really good music, and then everybody goes home and lives a life and doesn't even think about it until the next service when they come in. I don't want to be that kind of church. I want to be the kind of church that gets this, and we're praying for the Spirit to move and thy kingdom come, not just on Sunday and Wednesday, but we're praying for it Monday morning. We're saying, God, I want your Spirit to move on me and let me walk in authority so that I got power, not just over the people that I want power to walk where you've ordained me to walk so that I can be fruitful, so that I can multiply. Well, let me tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take us being under the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh and leave that stuff alone because it's stopping us from walking in authority. Amen. But it's not that big of a deal. Vicky, it is that big of a deal. You know why it's that big of a deal? Because the enemy understands who you are. The enemy knows who you are more than you know who you are. And the enemy knows if he can get you distracted and get you pulled aside, then there are some things that aren't going to happen that were designed to happen. No, preacher, God is sovereign. And I know everything's going to work out according to his will. It's okay. Everything's going to be all right. No, the truth is this. He gave the keys to the bride. He gave them to us. I know sometimes when you are singing songs, I'm looking at the lyrics, and the other day I seen a lyric, and Tracy's getting nervous, and she's like, oh. But I looked at a lyric, and it said, his keys are in his hand. Did y'all catch that? Is there one of the verses, the keys are in his hand? You know what I'm talking about? And I'm sitting there, and I was thinking, but didn't he give the keys to us? I'm going to tell you right now, he did give them to us. But the only way we got him, the keys, is if our hand is in his hand. God doesn't give you the key. Jesus don't give you the keys outside of himself. He doesn't give you the gift of eternal life like, here's a box. Here, I'd like to give you eternal life. He gives it, drops it off and leaves. You don't get eternal life unless you get him. He gives you him and you have eternal life. The only way the church has the keys is if they have him. I got my hand in the hand of the man. Keep singing. I'm not trying to change your lyric. That's good. Because if we understand that the keys are in his hand, we'll put our hand in his hand and then we have the keys. But the only way we do that is if we are standing where he has ordained us to stand, not over here in this place. It's messing us up. It is messing us up, and we don't even realize it's messing us up. Preacher, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's just a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and a little bit will leaven the whole lump. And you don't even realize what it's doing to you. So if you're here, God has ordained you to be here. You know what's really great about it? All you got to do is turn. If you are a child of God, there's no devil can hold you in that thing. Now, he's going to lie to you and tell you that's who you are. Well, that's just who you are. That's just who you are. What you did is who you are. What you did is not who you are. What you did is what you did. Who you are is who you are. But when you realize who you are and you leave behind what you did and you walk over and you stand and you place yourself in liberty, liberty to walk under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Come on, Aaron, I think I'm done. I think I'm out of notes and everything. You're going to have a choice. You're going to have a choice tomorrow. You are going to have a choice tomorrow. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to place yourself in liberty? Or are you going to allow the enemy to move you into bondage? He forgives. He puts you in a place of life. How many people would it take? How many people do you think it would take? If 120 turned the whole world upside down, when they came out of the upper room, walking in the authority of Jesus, walking in the authority, moved by the power of the Holy Ghost. See, you know what the Holy Ghost is now to people? It's a cold chill. We want enough Jesus to get us to heaven, but we want enough Jesus to mess up our lifestyle. We want us Jesus to forgive us, but not enough Jesus to tell us what to do. Is that what you said today? That thing you sent? We want him to be Savior, but we don't want him to be Lord. But this is the awesome thing. Once you get in this, it changes you. The more you worship, the more you want to worship. Because the more you seek him, the more you find him, the more you find him, the more you love him. This thing is perpetual. So I don't want to preach to you to lay aside your whatever's going on. I want you to replace that. Whatever your craving is over here, I can tell you to stop craving that, or I can give you something better that you will crave more. Man, that's good. That's good. Because the more you give yourself to Jesus, you go from glory to glory to glory. You go from realm to realm to realm, the placing of a son. You grow up into this thing. And when you grow up, you're sitting in a seat of authority. And when you're sitting in a seat of authority, you can speak life. You can speak those things as not as though they were. And when you speak that, things begin to happen. You begin to lay hands on people. And it's not just hoping, trying to twist God's arm so that he might do it for you. No, you understand who you are, and you're walking in liberty, and you're under the power of the Spirit, and you're not trying to twist God's arm. You're speaking in Christ's stead. You're saying, you know what? I'm a son. I've been placed in this spot. And because I've been placed in this spot, I'm going to remain in this spot. And there's authority and there's power that comes with us. One word spoken by a son of God. One word will change somebody's life. One word, but you got to get rid of the shame. You got to get rid of all that entanglement. You got to get rid of that so you can walk in authority. So now, how do you end this sermon? Do gooder. No. Doing gooder is not the answer. Let's get closer to Jesus. Get closer to Jesus. Get closer to Jesus. I've had people come up and tell me after a sermon like this, they say, preacher, I want to do it, but I got people in my life I cannot forgive. I can't forgive them. I had a lady tell me that not long ago. She said, I can't forgive them. And she went on to tell me what had happened. And it would be hard. It would be difficult to forgive. But when you get closer to the forgiver and you start seeing what he did for you, you got to hear what I'm saying right now. The closer I get to him, the more I want to love people. Because I realize how much he loves me. The closer I get to him, the more I want to walk in life and power and goodness, because he is life and power and goodness. And I don't want to be entangled in all of those things that's trying to snuff out the power of the church. I refuse. Hold on, I got another verse. Sorry. What time is it? Psalms 101 and 3. Psalms 101 and 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Let's read that again. I will set, come on, let me hear you. What a covenant. What a covenant. And here's what I think about. You can make that promise. I'm not going to set any wicked thing before my eye. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. I am not going to do it. I am not going to. So here's the wicked side. This is the evil. This is the thing. So you turn partially away from that. You know what I figured out? Something is always set before mine eyes. So I may not set that thing. I'm not going to set that thing before my eyes. So I turn partially, but there's something set before my eye. What do you mean? I'm saying the only way to overcome that thing is to put your eyes on something else. You got to put your eyes on something worthy. You got to put your eyes on something power. It's not about turning from wickedness to him. It's about turning to him from wickedness. But when I put my eyes on him, I got my eye on the author and the finisher of my faith. Things change. I want to pray for somebody. I want to pray for somebody. Somebody going through something. Somebody that's fighting this battle. Somebody that knows what I'm talking about. Somebody, maybe the enemy is trying to pull you over. Maybe the enemy's trying to destroy you. I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for you that we turn and we put our eyes on liberty and power and love and joy. There's one. Come on, help me. Help me pray. Help me pray. God, he's able.